gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A beautiful weekend. Man, oh man, this is more like it. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Michael Mooring behind the glass this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Viola.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Nice to see you.
It's wonderful to see you as well.
You missed a bit of a time last Saturday.
I heard.
Great time not to be engineering the show.
I'm extra anxious this morning. Rumor has it last week there were some technical issues.
Oh, boy. Derek Randeo at the fan on the controls. He'll keep us honest and straight today, boy. You can count on Derek.
I'm counting on him.
Wonderful program. First of all, in the news, some great news yesterday was released at the 1 o'clock Ontario Premier's conference, saying that next week, well, he didn't say like for sure, but you know, you don't have to take the good wherever you can get it. He did say that next week they are going to be looking at making announcements about reopening the northern lodges and fishing camps and little motels and all that the north is so reliant about. Well, the whole province is. So that was really good news. We've got backcountry camping going on, but we may be looking at additional camping opportunities as well next week. So next week, barring any knock on wood, barring any major mishaps, we being the Fishing Canada guys, should be able to start putting together a schedule, a field schedule. So we're very excited. We're very excited to hear what's going on because it has been a long 3 months, man. Woo-hoo. Craziness. Anyways, so that's good news. We'll keep an eye on that and keep you informed as well. Fishingcanada.com is in the news. It's in the news every day. That's where people go to win goodies, win all kinds of stuff. Outboard motors, boats, trailers, you name it. FishingCanada.com is the place for you to go and win free goodies. All you have to do is go into the contest section of said website. If I haven't mentioned the name of it, it's FishingCanada.com, Michael.
That's the place.
FishingCanada.com.
Bookmark it.
I would. That's for sure. And I while I'm there, I would go into the contest area, and I would enter all the contests, not just one, because one gets you one. See? Two gets you two, et cetera. So you have to make sure you enter into all the contests there. They're all free of charge. Yeah, all free. You just go in there, put your answer the question, put your little mark beside the answer, and Bob's your uncle. Off you go. And then just wait. But do it every day. Because if you don't, the other 10 million people who are doing it every day will get ahead of you in ballots, and then they have a greater chance of winning.
You can't. Don't. Sit this one out. Don't let someone else take what should be rightfully yours.
Very well put, Michael. Yeah. Holy mackerel. Why didn't I think of that? I like that. It's all happening at fishcan.com. Just to let you know, a couple of the prizes there. Mercury Marine is giving away 2.5 four-stroke outboard motors. They are absolutely fantastic. Latest technology in outboard marine products, and it's a 2.5, an ultra-light, great backpacking motor. You want to go in the woods? This is the motor to tote with you on your back. What else can you win there? How about a boat, motor, and trailer? If you don't want a 2.5 Merc, some people are saying, do you know that I actually received two notices from people saying, I'm not going to enter that contest because that motor's too small for my boat.
Oh, well, there's always got to be someone like that, isn't there?
Two of them.
Two.
Who are you gonna? The other one said, "Who are you gonna please with that?" I didn't even know how to answer. Like, how do you answer that? How would you have answered that? You're an astute man and a judge of fine lines.
I don't even know if I could tackle that one. Yeah. Some people just can't please.
Who are you gonna please with that? He says. So
well,
okay,
thankfully we have the answer
exactly. Yeah. How about a Yukon Princecraft Yukon boat? with a 20 EFI four-stroke Mercury outboard on the back, sitting on a custom trailer, complete with the tires.
That probably shut him up, right?
Oh, I haven't heard from back from since. I haven't heard a hair of him.
I wouldn't expect to hear from him.
I don't know. Maybe he liked it. I have no idea. But anyways, we're just having fun with you this morning. Go there. Enter both contests. Make sure you enter both. A lot of people are confused and disappointed when I tell them, if you haven't been entering both, you're not entered in both. So now they know. So now everybody is entering in both contests. There's two separate contests going on right now. Get on there and get there often. This week's guests, I am excited, Michael, and I'm happy that you're here to share this epic episode with me.
Epic?
This is epic.
Oh, wow. I thought every episode was epic.
Yeah, you're right. It's another episode.
Even and more epicer.
And I'm glad you're here with me today to share this. So just to give you an idea why I say that. Joining us this morning, a good friend of mine. I have not talked to him in a long time. The last time I remember talking to him was on this program. And I said to him, why haven't I talked to you in such a long time? And he says, I don't know. We need to change that. And then we both got busy. And, we had a pandemic in between. And we haven't talked in a long time.
Those things happen.
So I'm going to talk to him today. He is the man in charge. He is the chief executive officer of Camp Ooch. Uchagias, Alex Robertson will be joining us. If you're not familiar with this organization, it is exclusively serving children with cancer, giving them an opportunity to go to the outdoors. And they spend days, weeks at this wonderful establishment on Muskoka Lake. And well, I'll let Alex tell you about it if you don't know about it. They're just an incredible array of kind people that are affiliated with this group. And Alex is at the top of them. So he'll join us a little later on. Talk to us. I want to know how they're doing during the pandemic. Like, how do you deal with this stuff, right? The camp's supposed to be open. I know it's not open yet. So we'll find out from Alex here shortly. Another guy who's having a hard time doing his job during this crisis is Dr. Stephen Cook, who's a semi-regular on this program. He is a Canadian research professor of environmental science and biology at the Cook Lab. You know he's important when he has a lab named after him. Like, we're not just talking any run-of-the-mill biologist.
Well, you don't have a lab named after you.
Thank you.
I don't have a lab named after me.
Pete's got a lab named after his dog. He's got a lab. He named him Pete. There you go.
That's right.
So that's, I guess, what some people do to get a lab named after him. But Stephen Cook didn't have to do that. The folks at Carleton University in Ottawa saw fit to call the lab the Cook Lab.
Well, he worked for it. He didn't take the easy
no,
way
no,
out.
No. Well, you'll see. He's for sure. Anyways, you can join us to talk to us about how he's coping through this whole COVID-19 situation and how it's affecting his field work. But it's an interesting little twist because his kids are now helping him to tag and release fish rather than his staff. He's got his kids working, catching and tagging fish on the big Rideau Lake area. So there you go. That's going to be an interesting segment. Then Richard Carr, who is a fire research analysis in Edmonton, Alberta, will be joining us to talk to us about the Canadian Forestry Service, which is predicting, apparently we're not going to have as many fires today this year, thank God, because I thought about this when I saw this story. How do they work on these massive fires where you have to mobilize, hundreds if not thousands of rangers and firefighters into remote locations? How do you do that during a pandemic?
You got me.
Anyways, Richard Carr will join us, tell us a little bit about that industry. The Big Bar landslide. Did you ever hear about it? You probably haven't even heard about it. The Big Bar landslide along the Fraser River in British Columbia?
I'm unfamiliar. You're going to have to fill me in.
All right. It happened a while ago, and it was a massive, it was a natural disaster. It happened on its own, big landslide. But the biggest problem with it is that it blocked the migration route for literally hundreds of thousands of salmon. And it was a real major disaster for the spawning run. And I believe sockeye and Chinook salmon both were affected by it. And they have not been able to figure out, it's taken them over a year now to figure out how to fix it, because they can't get machinery to in there, because it's in such a steep gorge that they can't get machinery to clear it out. So they've been building ways around it, and they've been building methods of getting salmon over this 150-foot wall. And so it's an interesting, fascinating story. And we'll be joined by the director of the Big Bar Landslide Response Team, working for the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Gwil Roberts will join us to talk to us about that initiative. Boy, we got a lot of great. That's why I told you this was an epic show. Now you understand what I'm talking about. But before we do any of that, let's talk about the Fish in Canada show. That's right, kiddies. Time to take a look at Canada's most watched fishing program on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast, as we speak. As we speak. A great episode. I can't see it. I normally would be watching it, but I'm not today because we have some issues here now with our visuals.
Do you know what's on today, Angelo?
I do. It's called Northern Rockies Walleye and Grayling.
It's a good one.
Ho-ho.
They're all good ones, but this one is gooder.
It's a gooder. It's the gooderest one I've ever seen. This is epic.
This is epic. This is epic.
And it's starring my co-host Peter Bowman, along with the new feller on the show, Steve Nidzwicki. Once again, I missed another one. Boy, I missed a... Did I get any work in?
I don't want to rub it in, but you missed quite a bit last year.
I know.
You had your reasons.
I did. That's all right.
We were thinking of you.
I'm sure you were. Were you on that shoot?
I was on that shoot.
Good it God. Was, is that the first time you've, or second time?
That was the second time I had the privilege of traveling there.
Flying into the most remote part of the Rocky Mountains in northern British Columbia. It's just, it doesn't get any better than this. I've been privileged to have been there a couple times myself, and it's outstanding. This episode is it is phenomenal, called Northern Rockies Walleye and Grayling. And walleye are probably the least, if somebody said to you, okay, I'm going to BC to fish, what am I fishing for? I think the bottom of that list of guesses would be walleye. But guess what? You'd be wrong, because walleye is right up near the top of that list. Incredible walleye fishing in the Rockies, and you got to see the episode to believe it. All you have to do is tune into Global Television Network. Of course, if you listen to this program, you might not be doing that right now, and who would blame you? Giving up this type of quality entertainment to go watch another is like leaving fish for fish, and you never do that. So what I suggest you do later on, go to fishingcanada.com and look up the episode Northern Rockies Walleye and Grayling. There you'll find all the information you need on how you too can enjoy this exciting Fish in Canada episode. It's all happening on fishincanada.com. All righty. Time to do a little safety work, a little in-house safety with our in-house safety expert. His name is Bradley Schlarf. And I don't know now from week to week whether he was on last week or he wasn't. I'm getting so confused with his damn turkey hunting. Turkey hunting is starting to interfere with his work. That's the problem. Good morning, Mr. Schlarf.
Morning. How are you? And turkey hunting's all over till the fall.
And who won? Turkeys or Schlarfy?
Well, I got one, so that means I won, I guess.
All right.
One for one.
We call it a draw. One for one.
Okay. Even Steven.
Even Steven. Equal Pasquale. How's that?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Was that Italian or just something you just made up?
I just made it up. I'm feeling pretty good today. But you know why? Because I got motivated. The first thing I saw on my phone this morning when I woke up was a message from Uncle Jack.
Is he coming on?
No. But he saw fit to send me a message saying that I should be doing a little better. Let me read it for you. He says, try to be a little more entertaining today, was his comment. There you go.
What does he want? Okay, so you already made up a couple of words that sounded like Italian.
Yes.
How much better does it get than that for Jack?
I figured I blew my wad already, and it's not even 15 minutes into the show.
Well, you got an hour and 45 to go then.
Yes, sir. What's happening in OPP headquarters, my friend?
Well, it's been a kind of a strange week, but right away I got to talk about two more boating fatalities.
Oh, my God.
Okay. 18-year-old kid in eastern Ontario, fall out of a canoe, no PFD. Other person with him makes it ashore. The 62-year-old man in a little place called Drift Lake, Ontario, which isn't actually Drift Lake, Ontario. It's a lake in Ontario. But I used to go there and fish. It was probably 15 miles away from where I lived in northwestern Ontario. Mm-hmm. Small little backcountry lake in the District of Thunder Bay. 12-foot or 14-foot aluminum boat capsizes, goes overboard, no PFD.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I just hate hearing that stuff, you know, because it disappoints me. It disappoints me because we're obviously not delivering messaging properly. I don't know. And I say we, I'm not necessarily meaning you and I, although you and I play a big role in it, but obviously, clearly, it's not getting through.
Well, and remember, off and on, there's been the topic about little kind of plastic dinghies and whether they're really a boat, yep, and whether people need, right, to have PFDs and all that sort of stuff on them. So Simcoe police get called to go and rescue a couple of men in a plastic dinghy, and really, really windy. It gets blown halfway across Lake Simcoe. They got to go and get them, of course, no PFDs. So fortunately, the cooler heads prevailed, and they walked away with a couple of tickets.
Oh, they did get tickets.
Yes, okay, they did.
All right. Fair enough.
But again, this is the season where those kind of smaller items come out and people don't. Again, it's not paying attention to the weather. When it's that windy, how do you think you're going to paddle that plastic thing back to shore?
It's almost impossible on a good day.
Yep.
Never mind. Hey, some great news. I mentioned at the top of the program that possibly we're going to get a little more opening up in terms of outdoors and outdoor activities with lodges and cabins and you know, fishing camps and that kind of thing possibly opening up very, very soon. It couldn't come any earlier, I'll tell you that. Right,
yes,
now.
It could have. Yes, yeah. It could have. So now if you want to entertain Jack, he can hear me whine.
Okay.
So we go on our annual fishing trip.
Yeah.
North of Chapleau, park's closed when we normally go, but indications it may open up. So rebook the reservation we've already had since January, and thanks to Ministry of Environment, Conservation, and Parks, or whatever that's called now.
Yes.
They've done online booking for interior sites in this park now. Perfect, because we have a race sometimes to get to the site that we want.
Yes.
About 20 miles down the lake. I get it booked in January. The world is going perfect. COVID comes and bursts my bubble. But I can just change the reservation to the next potential available date, which was today. Notice I'm not excused in having Whaley fill in for me or anything today because I'm not there.
Yes.
All excited. That ministry sends out a press release. All backcountry camping in all but 8 parks is open effective the 1st of June. Our reservation is good. Only then I get an automated message saying the reservation is canceled. So I spend ages online or on the phone trying to get through to somebody. And eventually find out that one park, the only backcountry camping that's available this week, is if you're going to paddle up to James Bay, which isn't quite in our schedule. But so here I am whining about it's not the park's fault, but they're supposedly going to open those other sites up on the 14th.
Yeah, it's just a day-to-day on everything. I want to talk to you about something that took place last week and the OPP was involved. So can you sit tight for a second with us? We're just going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to play it safe some more with our good friend Bradley Schlorf. More Journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
So we've been venturing out. Think of prairie dogs poking their little heads out of their little holes and looking around for the first sign of trouble, then poking them back into their holes again. This is the way it is now as the COVID-19 pandemic starts to loosen its chokehold on our sorry lives. We go into banks now wearing masks, and it's okay. Only a few months ago, there'd be alarm bells ringing and SWAT teams getting into formation to shoot the hell out of us. Now nothing. The handshake is now verboten, gone into the history books as we struggle to find a replacement. Touching elbows, possibly, or doing the Japanese bow, hands clapped in front of us, reverently if possible. I just tip my hat, my pretend hat, because I don't wear hats. Being locked up with your spells for more than 10 weeks is not exactly a ticket to paradise. It's easier, of course, if you've been married a long time, considered divorce a couple of times, and then said to hell with it. Too arduous, too expensive. And besides, no one does ignoring better than a couple who have been married for over 30 years. It's their daily game plan. My wife now wants a BMW 3/6. She says she wants her last car to be a very hot and expensive car. So, why the hell not? We'll lease it. I'll get her Jeep Cherokee and I'll trade in my Jeep Wrangler. We can't go on vacation until I get through my cancer treatments. So a BMW it is, then. You're right. I'm a sucker. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back. I was just thinking, can you imagine living, can you imagine going through a pandemic with Mark Bonikoski as your roommate?
That might be a fate worse than death.
That poor woman. Oh, my God. Like, it's just, it would be relentless, right? Like, he doesn't even have to speak, and he's grumpy. Like, he could just not even utter a word, and you look at it and you say, oh, God.
Here we go.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sports.590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Bell. He is Michael Mooring, and we have Derek Brandeo at the controls, I think, although we're not sure this very moment, but hopefully we do. Online with me is our in-house safety expert who so kindly has been waiting through this break with us, Bradley Schlurf. All right. Now, first of all, let me throw out a disclaimer, Bradley. I received this information from our good friend Steve Nidzwicki, who got it from a couple of buddies of his from Northern Ontario. And he said that the OPP was involved, were involved in a couple of incidences last week with outfitters and operators who had attempted to open their camps up because they were given permission and were under the assumptions, like a lot of people were last week, that they were supposed to be open. Have you got any news on that at all?
No.
No.
Although you had me a little nervous at the start there because this was going to be a story that somebody told somebody else, and it turned out that it was you that stopped for speed.
No, I don't do that anymore. Come on.
I know.
That was a long time ago.
I haven't heard any kind of stories like that, and I'm not sure from location to location what the police, irrespective of OPP or municipal or regional or whatever, role to play in terms of regulating business as to whether they're open or not. Now, they are enforcing some of the social distancing rules and things like that, so I wouldn't even want to comment on whether that's true, false, alligator in the toilet. I don't know. Could be. Maybe not.
Yeah, I was
curious. How's that for an answer?
I was curious when I heard it. I don't know. And the reason that he contacted me with it, he wanted me to do a story on it. And I kind of shied away from it because I couldn't get anything concrete. And I called some of my lodge buddies and couldn't get any answers up there either. So I decided we'll just leave it alone and let it go. However, lo and behold, yesterday's press conference with Premier Ford, you know, he mentions that they are going to look at lodges and fishing camps early next week. So maybe there was some truth to it after all. I don't know. But
well, the 14th is a magic date again for some more opening of parks. It was released, so that might be coincidental. Same thing for tourist outfitters.
Yeah, possibly.
But you know something? You've got an expert coming on today to talk about fish stocks and numbers and stuff like that. What's the impact of a lot of the places that get fished fairly heavily on post-spawn walleye that get fished fairly heavily and nobody haven't fished them fairly heavily this year? Will that mean that they're probably in really good spring conditions? Will there be a huge big year class?
I would assume so. I would think this is going to do nothing good for wildlife, nothing but good for wildlife. as evidence already. I mean, we're hearing all kinds of stories about wild. Well, did you see that video of the moose in BC in the pool?
Yep. Yep.
Like they're coming out of everywhere. I mean, like I don't know what's going on, but bears are prevalent and moose and you name it. I mean, so wildlife is doing really well during this pandemic. Obviously, they probably are looking around saying, hey, where did all those goofy things go that are normally chasing us?
You know? Up above me, they keep dropping their equivalent of chocolate bars down in front of my nose.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to suggest that it will be a bumper year about 3 or 4 years from now, which is, you know, usually how long it takes for walleye to be mature and get into that 2 pound class, 1.5, 2 pound class. So I'm thinking 3, 4 years from now, those lakes you speak of will be fantastic.
So, well, you know, maybe topic for another date, but I could rave about the effects of a slot on a particular lake that we fish a lot and how that really improved things. So a whole year of nobody touching them, gotta help.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. So are you looking at canceling your annual?
Oh, it's canceled. I'd have been there today, right now,
right.
Sitting, scratching parts of myself and wondering if we should start fishing or maybe have another cup of coffee or, you know, it's milling about time right now.
Okay, I have to interject because if I didn't, people out there saying, well, why'd you let him get away with that comment? So I'm assuming your buddies who go on this annual with you are all in the same sort of age group and same position in life. Yeah. Okay.
Because my son goes and we recruit newer, younger, stronger, not as smart people. They lift stuff, but they're mostly all my vintage.
Yeah. Aside from your bears that carry your stuff in for you, the rest of you are all in your same, retired sort of mode, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So why couldn't you just reschedule, for a couple of weeks down the road, next month, whatever. It's not like you've got busy lives that you can't, God forbid, should you, throw a curveball at your schedule.
Oh, it's been the topic of conversation, but we like to get up there when that post-spawn fishing is really, really good. And if we don't, unless we go later, the lake trout fishing won't be any good till that all sets up. So, I don't know. Old.
Just go and enjoy the moment. Never mind fishing. See, that's the problem with trips like that. To me, trips like that, fishing is great. It's a bonus. It's a backdrop. It's the theater. That's why you go. But it's what happens during those 3, 4 days, 5 days that you're in the backwoods with your buddies that really matters. And so just go.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Just go. Never mind.
Yeah.
So what? So you're a couple of weeks behind. Big deal.
No, instead we're heading up tomorrow to Manitoulin Island to my father-in-law's camp. He passed in April, so we've got to clean up a bunch of his stuff for him.
All right. Well, you're doing something then. Okay. I don't feel quite as bad. See? I'm good now. I can let you go now. We're good.
Okay. I feel better.
All right, Brad.
I wanted an inventory next week, though, on how amused Jack was by your comic performances.
All right, my friend. Take care. We'll talk to you next Saturday, man.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go, playing it safe with our in-house safety expert, Bradley Schlorf, retired staff sergeant with the OPP. And, I always wonder about retirees when they say stuff. Yeah, I can't do that. I'm too busy or whatever. Good God.